It is of utmost importance that any time that we take up the Bible to read it, that we remind ourselves afresh that what we are reading are the very words of God. This beautiful truth is set forth in the words of Bernard Barton in a hymn entitled Word of the Ever-Living God. Word of the ever-living God, will of his glorious Son, without thee how could earth be trod, or heaven itself be known? Lamp of our feet, whereby we trace our path when wont to stray, stream from the fount of heavenly grace, brook by the traveler's way. Bread of our souls, whereon we feed, true manna from on high, our guide and chart, wherein we read of realms beyond the sky. Lord, grant us all a right to learn the wisdom it imparts, and to its heavenly teaching turn with simple, childlike hearts. For our few moments with the book today, I would like to draw attention to some of these words of the ever-living God. James 4:14, first of all, and I quote, "Ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." 1 Peter 1:24, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Job 7:6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." Job 14:1, "Man born of a woman is of few days. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not." Now from these scriptures that we have read, we learn how brief our life's span is. James likens it to a vapor appearing for a little while and then vanishing away. It's gone. Peter compares it to the grass and the flowers. They all soon wither. Job speaks of the fleeting days as swifter than the fast-flying weaver's shuttle. And he also reminds us of the fact that our days are but few. How true we find this to be. And he uses also the simile of a shadow appearing for a moment, as it were, and then fleeing away. Now in Proverbs 27:1, we read another of these wonderful words of the ever-living God. We are reminded in this passage of the uncertainty of what lies ahead of us in regards to things that concern us in our life's history here on earth. Here's the verse. These are the words of God. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now, not only does Scripture assert this definite, certain truth, but our own experiences confirm it, as well as do the experiences of others that we observe daily. We cannot help but see the facts, dear friend, if we would only open our eyes and admit to them. Oh, dear listening friend, there is really in your life and mine what amounts to a fuse which is lighted the moment that we enter this world. Do you not realize that each passing day is just so much of that fuse burnt away, as it were? And that each passing day brings us that much closer to eternity? There is a countdown in this respect. In this life of ours, and we would do well to consider it, it will usher us into the presence of God. It will forever close the door in our brief history here. The flower of our lives may have bloomed for a while, but then it will be cut down and withered. The shadow of our lives may have appeared clear and well-defined, but then it will have fled. Few indeed are the days here as we look back upon them, regardless of how varying in number they might be. Few, I say, in comparison to eternity. The countdown continues. It's continuing to this very moment, and it will continue until we leave this body of clay. When time ends, and eternity begins for each one of us. We know not what a day may bring forth, was the word from Proverbs. How true this is. This is divine truth. It's a revelation of a fact that we cannot deny. Now, just how far down in the countdown we are, God only knows. But the fact of it possibly being reached today should certainly make us stop and consider the inevitable consequences of our zero hour. With the psalmist in chapter 90 and verse 12, ought not our desire to be, as he expresses, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to be taught this through the wisdom that the Word imparts. Lord, grant us right to learn the wisdom it imparts. Teach us to number our days, that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. Only a fool would do anything less. Dear friend, will we not be wise then and face the fact of vital importance? Time is running out. Eternity looms ahead for every single one of us. Now, though we may not know what shall be on the morrow, as to what may happen here in view of the uncertainty of life, and in this swiftly moving and changing scene, we may not know, we cannot know. But that does not at all mean to infer that the eternal future of each of us is hidden and cannot be known. Rather, Scripture testifies to the contrary. This same word of the ever-living God speaks clearly to unveil for us the certain and sure results for every soul who reaches his zero hour. Don't be deceived by the lies of Satan, and they are many. Nor be conceived by the opinions of men who reject the truth of God and seek to rationalize on the basis of facts on this vital matter. For instance, in regards to the zero hour of death reaching your life today, and that may be indeed true, it is a possibility. The result for you is not hidden. It will either be one thing or another, one place or another, one condition or another. Now, should you know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, if you've had an experience with Him, if you have come to Him as a lost, helpless sinner, and if in faith you have received Him as your substitute who died for you on the cross for your sins and rose again for your justification, should your countdown reach the zero hour, it will mean for you, without a shadow of a doubt, that you will leave your house of clay and depart, your soul and your spirit, the real you, depart, I say, to be with Christ, which is far better. The thief on the cross was told, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The words that I quoted, "depart to be with Christ," came from the lips of the Apostle Paul, whose desire was to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. This is the present portion of those who die in Christ, who have been saved by his grace, washed by his blood, have received eternal life the moment they accepted him. Now, on the other hand, should you, my dear listening friend, be one of those that has not had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not know him as your Savior, you have never confessed yourself as a sinner to God, you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your substitute, when you reach the zero hour of death, what will happen? Scripture unveils it for us. You will die in your sins. And the Lord Jesus goes on to say, "Whither I go, ye cannot come." The words of the ever-living God show us that there is a distinct great gulf that cannot be bridged between these two conditions of bliss and of torment, with Christ and in his sins. Dear friend, there is no other way. No other way, I say, than either the one or the other of which I've set forth. To die in Christ at your zero hour, or to die in your sins. You cannot possibly enter eternity in any other way. Oh, dear friend, would you not be wise? Will you not admit it? It's a wise thing to consider your latter and eternal end. God would have you to be prepared now for that zero hour of death. You know not the day of your death. Death may overtake you this very day. Your zero hour in your countdown may be reached today. Where will you be in eternity? Now, you know the possibility of this taking place today. You cannot deny it. Do not close your eyes to the fact of it. You know you have no lease on your life. You are wise only if you now repent toward God and come to the Lord Jesus just as you are and accept him as your Savior. Just tell him that you believe he died for you, and I assure you on the authority of the Word of God that you will be saved. You will pass from death to life. You will receive everlasting life. Now there is another aspect of the countdown that I would also consider for just a few moments. When the Lord Jesus was here, he made a promise in these words, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We read those words of the ever-living God, in John 14. Every tick of the clock brings us closer to the fulfillment of that blessed promise to the believer. And you know, dear friend, every indication that Scripture has given that signifies the nearness of the second coming of Jesus is seen all around us today. Oh, with joy, the believer looks around and looks up, looks into the Word, and he can say, "It may be today. Perhaps today the Lord will come. It may truly be today." There are signs that it may be today in all the political world of unrest amongst the nations, wars and rumors of wars. There are clear signs, too, in the prophetic world in regards to Israel as to her present existence and activity. There are signs in the moral condition of the violence and corruption that fills the earth. There are signs also of the apostasy, the turning away from the truth of Christ in the professing church. This looms as a dark cloud as well, not only on the horizon, but it's already overhead. And all this invites and will bring forth, dear friend, the just judgment of the Son of Man. For the one who is the Savior, the Son of Man who came to seek and to save the lost, who lives in the glory to receive all that will come to him by faith now, is coming to judge this world in righteousness. But before he comes to judge, he is coming again to the air. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That event, dear friend, may be today. Let me ask, are you ready for that event? What bliss, what eternal joy the believer will then enter into. Let me ask you again, I repeat, are you ready for that event? If you're not a believer in Christ and have never been born again, you are not ready. And let me remind you that you will have no time to prepare when that event occurs. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 that event will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It is imperative that you are ready before Jesus comes, or you will never be ready at all. Instead of being raptured to the glory and taken out of this world that's doomed for judgment, you are not ready. You will be left behind. You will eternally perish beneath the just judgment of the Son of Man whom you have rejected. But this need not be. You can now be ready. You can be ready for this zero hour, whether it be death or whether it be the coming of Christ, which may be today. How? Repent. God commandeth you to repent, to take his judgment against you, to tell him that you have sinned. Ask him for mercy and receive Christ Jesus, his salvation for you. Receive him by faith. Then you will be ready. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.